On episode 42 of the Pixel Power Podcast, I'm going to start a three-part series on using the If This Then That service, I'll refer to that as IFT going forward, on three different use cases. For instance, today for part one, we will talk about using the IFT service on the Pixel or Android phone. In part two, which will be the next episode, we'll talk about using IFT with the Google Assistant, and then we will talk about using IFT with G Suite applications in part three. So I'm really excited about this. I have been using these services for years, and I think each of us can learn how this service can better automate what we do on our phones with the Google Assistant and with our G Suite applications. I'm amazed that it took me this long to put these three episodes together. So first of all, I apologize for the delay. I'm a couple of days in delay in getting this episode out. And I have to tell you, it is because I have had a bout of the flu. Now, let me tell you, when you are laid up at home with the flu and you are watching TV and the latest news, you begin to panic, especially when you are someone who has just recently traveled. So the coronavirus, as we know, is out there, is spreading in China, but you can only imagine how that made me feel while I was at home recovering. I have recovered. I'm feeling much better. So I took some time while I was ill, fleshed out my notes to get those ready for you. So what we will do is go ahead and dive into this discussion on using If This Then That. If you are not familiar with the service, here's a quick introduction. First of all, it is a cloud service. So you will go to the If This Then That or IFT website. And what you will find when you get there are tools that you can use to automate actions that happen on specific triggers. And we're going to talk about those triggers. And while you're on the website, what you do is you create applets from various services. IFT This Then That or IFT has really expanded the number of services. You might be surprised to find that you have a device in your home that provides an IFT service. What's nice about IFT is this is free to you, the user. Businesses pay to have their devices connected to this service. So you should feel free to go ahead, create an account. It's never going to cost you anything, and that service is going to be free. The only drawback I see from this service is the lack of complex applications. Due to its name, If This Then That, that's all you get. If this happens, then that occurs. What I find sometimes is that I have to create multiple applets to have done what I wished I could do in a single applet. For instance, I wish there was an if this, then that, and that. Maybe that'll come in a later feature release. However, right now it is just a this, then that action. So you need to remember that. So that's a little bit of a drawback, but it's amazing the automation that you can create. As mentioned, I think what will also surprise you is just the number of devices. I looked around recently in my house at the number of connected devices I have and the number of services I use online and was just amazed. So we're going to talk about some of those, but I really would encourage you and ask you to go explore if you are not in the If This Then That service, to go check that out. Even if you use the IFT services, but you have not viewed the site lately to see what applications, what triggers, what services are available, you should go back and do that. I think you might be amazed at how quickly this library has grown. Okay, what we're going to do today, though, is we're really going to look at the IFT services as it relates to our Pixel phone or an Android phone, because our Pixels, of course, run Android. So there are five specific services designed to interact with your phone. Now, it's important to note that in order for these services to work, you do have to install the IFT application on your phone. You'll log in with the same account that you created in your web account, and then that will allow that app to run in background to look at these areas. And the areas are the Android battery, and we'll explain these as we go, the Android device itself, Android phone calls, Android photos, and Android SMS. And I have a picture of these services in the show notes if you want to go look at that to make sure that you can find those easily. And you typically search for services to find the ones that you're looking for. So when you just type in Android in the search, these five are the ones that are going to pop up. Now, I also have screenshots in the show notes that show you the actions and triggers for each of those services. So I mentioned those five services. Not all five services will include triggers and actions. They'll all include triggers, but some of them may not include actions. And I'm going to run through those for you in this episode today so that you don't have to go looking. So the first service I want to take a look at, and I'm going to run through these specifically and share every trigger and service, or I'm sorry, every trigger and action, because as we walk through and talk through these, it's probably going to give you some ideas about how you can create your own applets to automate some of the things that you do, or to automate notifications that you may want as part of your Pixel-powered life. So again, the first one is Android battery. So the first thing that happens is in Android batteries, you have the following three triggers. So think about these triggers. A trigger is the if this. So if this happens, that's what we're talking about now. That's the trigger. So the triggers for the Android battery include battery drops below 15%. What do you want to happen after that? That's what we're talking about when we talk about triggers. So the other thing is when the device is plugged in and when the device is unplugged. So just to give you an example, one of the services I've created from the Android battery service is if the battery drops below 15%, send a text to my wife. And I do that because I want her to know my battery's about dead. If I don't respond, it's probably because my battery's dead and I haven't had a chance to charge it. So that's just a great kind of use case for how we can use a trigger. Now, at the end of the episode, I'm going to talk a lot, or I'm going to give you a lot of different things that you can do, or a lot of different applets you can create. But for now, we're just going to kind of go through the triggers and the actions. So Android battery only includes those three triggers. Again, it's battery drops below 15%, device is plugged in. So what could happen when the device is plugged in and device is unplugged? Second service that's available is the Android device itself. Now, this one has a lot of depth to it. There, you can go deep and really do some interesting things with the Android device service. This service provides both triggers and actions. Let's go through the triggers first. A notification is received. So if a notification is received, what do we want to do? Notification received from a specific app. That's kind of interesting. Connects to a Bluetooth device. Disconnects from a Bluetooth device. Connects to any Wi-Fi network, disconnects from any Wi-Fi network, connects or disconnects from any Wi-Fi network, connects to a specific Wi-Fi network, maybe that's your home, maybe that's your work, and then again, it disconnects to a specific Wi-Fi network. And then finally, connects or disconnects from a specific Wi-Fi network. So that one just gives you the option to do the same thing if you connect or disconnect from a Wi-Fi network. So there's some really interesting things in there. You can think about creating applets that occur when you get to your work, because when you get to your work, you're going to probably attach to a Wi-Fi network, or when you get home, you're probably going to attach to a Wi-Fi network. You'll notice there's no triggers for when you specifically geographically go to a location, and that's because you can probably get that from a Wi-Fi connection on a network. So you can use that the same way for that. If you're looking to try and identify when you arrive somewhere, when you connect to that Wi-Fi network, that happens. You can also think about those Bluetooth triggers when you connect a set of headphones, for instance. So the actions that come from an Android device are pretty interesting as well. So the action again is, if this happens, what is the action that will occur afterwards? So the actions are, for this particular service, Android device, update device wallpaper, play a specific song, play music in general, launch Google Maps navigation, mute the ringtone, set the ringtone volume, turn Bluetooth on, turn Bluetooth off, turn Wi-Fi on, turn Wi-Fi off. So just with the Android service alone, we could create an applet that when we connect to our home network, sets our ringtone volume to 100%. See how that works? So we would pair those two. It's very easy to create these applets. And as you're going to find when you try this yourself. And we'll talk about ways that you don't even have to create applets, but you can search for applets. We'll talk about those in a minute. So the other service is an Android phone call. This service only provides triggers, and the triggers are any phone call placed, any phone call answered, any phone call missed, phone call placed to a specific number, phone call answered from a specific number, and phone call missed from a specific number. So those are the triggers that are included for Android phone call. The other service that we have is Android Photos. And I will tell you, I was a little confused by Android Photos, because Android Photos, is that the same as Google Photos? I will tell you, it is not. It is photos on your phone. When you take a picture, goes to your photos first and then are uploaded to Google Photos. So it's sort of similar, but there are a couple of things that happen here. We have triggers, and the triggers include any new photo, a new screenshot, and a new photo taken in area. So that is the Android Photos service. The next service is the Android SMS. This one includes triggers. So the Android SMS triggers include any new SMS received, any new SMS sent, new SMS receive from phone number, new SMS sent to phone number, new SMS received matches search. So a SMS is received, but it matches a certain specific search criteria, like set my volume to 100%. That would be an example. And then new SMS sent matches search. So again, that's the Android SMS. So those are the five services that you can use to create very interesting applets for your Pixel or Android phone. Now, let me talk to you about suggested applets. Here's some applets I find useful that are really pretty cool, and you may just want to give these a try, and you may find that they help you, but they're great to review these applets, look at how they're created, and then see if you can build your own. So you can search for these quite easily, or you can just browse and you'll find these. But again, these are my favorite applets and there are some suggestions I have for you. First of all, the one that I like is turn off security cameras when my Pixel phone connects to the home Wi-Fi. So that's an applet that can be created. I would use the Android device when it connects to the Wi-Fi at home would turn off, in my case, my Wyze cameras. But the great thing about IFT is there are multiple security cameras supported. Wyze is in there, Nest is in there. I'm sure that Ring is in there as well. So you want to check those out. So that gives you an example. Others that I really like and recommend, automatically update the Pixel phone wallpaper with NASA's Astronomy of the Day image. That's really cool. You'll get a new image as your wallpaper every day. There is another one that I didn't list in the show notes that I just recently found, and it's when the subreddit Earth Porn, which sounds bad, it's really not, but when that changes or a new image is uploaded, that goes to your phone. There are some amazing images in that subreddit, and I recommend you check that one out too. You can automatically backup SMS messages received or sent to a Google Sheet. That's a great one to have. You can mute your phone when a meeting begins in Google Calendar. So it will know in Google Calendar when a new meeting starts and it'll automatically mute your phone. You can locate your Pixel phone with your Google Home Hub. I've set this up. I use this regularly. This is awesome. I can say, hey, assistant, find my phone, and it will ring my phone. Send an SMS to your phone that increases the ringtone to 100%. This is great when you lose your phone. You know it's out there somewhere, but it is not at 100%, so it doesn't ring it. You can't hear it. So you can have it automatically turn that ringtone up to 100% when you send a specific SMS to your phone. Now, one thing that we will need to do for that is you need to provide do not disturb access to the IFT app, and it'll set you through that. It'll walk you through all of that. You can also turn off Wi-Fi when you leave home. That's a great one. Keep a log of specific calls that you receive from a specific number, say from your spouse, a work, a colleague. If you need to log that for some reason, you can do that automatically. You don't have to do that manually. IFT will do that for you and stick it in a Google Sheet if you would like. You can mute your Pixel phone at a specific time, say bedtime or when you arrive at work. You can preview a picture taken on your Pixel phone on your Wear OS device. You take a picture, it automatically goes to your Wear OS watch, and you can take a look at that. You can upload Pixel phone screenshots to Google Drive. You can blink your smart home lights when you have missed a call. Sometimes you have the call volume down, have your lights blink at home, and then you'll know that you missed a call. You can receive a notification on your Pixel phone when it starts to snow, which I have, or rain. You can also pause audio on Sonos devices when you receive a phone call. You can use Google Assistant devices to find your phone, as I mentioned earlier. And then finally, you can send a text to someone when you enter a specific geographical area. That's really a neat feature to have. And that's because you can use the features of one of our services earlier, which is the Android device service. So there's some great applets that you can create and use. And that's just a smattering of options designed to get you thinking about the ways that you can use IFT on your Pixel phone to automate routine tasks or just have some fun on the phone. In the next episode, we'll take a look at the IFT service as it relates to our Google Assistant. You'll find out how I use the Google Assistant and IFT services to help me with the podcast. And you'll find out how to get even more great use out of your Google Assistant. And now, if you have an IFT routine for the Android or Pixel phone you think I've missed that you want to share with everybody, make sure and email that to me. And you can do that by clicking the link in the show notes, or you can email me at steven@pixelpowerpodcast.com, or you can post them on the Pixel Power Podcast subreddit as a reply to this episode's post. And that'll be going live almost immediately after I record the episode. So it should be available by the time you hear this, and start a discussion about our favorite IFT routines. So that is part one of IFT in an effort to continue to keep our show under 20 minutes. We're now going to roll into this week's edition of The Addendum, where I talk about living a pixel-powered life. Okay, I've got a few things for the addendum this week. First of all, in the Google Assistant realm, I have decided to turn off continued conversations. They were wrecking our Google Homes Hub experience at home. If you're experiencing problems with your Google Home Hubs or your Google Mini and you have a bunch of devices, I did find that I got better and more consistent results when I turned off continued conversations. For those of you not familiar, continued conversations is an option within the Google Home where it will listen immediately after you complete one command and listen for the next. I liked it. I really enjoyed that feature, but it really was wrecking our Hubs experience, our Google Home experience. So consider turning that off. We are giving YouTube Music a try instead of Spotify. Finding out that I really like it. We're on the 1 month trial, so we have both the Spotify and the YouTube Music. But what I really love about YouTube Music, I'm not sure everybody knows this because it's really confusing. But when you get YouTube Music, you also get ad-free YouTube. You also get access to Google Play Music. So those are together and combined as well. So you have a larger variety of songs to pull from. But I also love YouTube Music because I love to watch old music videos because I'm a product of the 80s. So I really enjoy having those that ad-free experience with YouTube videos and have that playing on like a Google Hub Max or a Google Home Hub. If you're a big user of Google Drive and you use it on other Macs, other computers rather than a Chromebook, such as a Mac or a Linux device, you should know that you can install a progressive web app now. When you go to drive.google.com, you should see the option to install that as a progressive web app. And speaking of a progressive web app, Messages now runs as a web app, and I ran into that by accident on my work Mac. So if you are a Mac user or Windows user, you can also install the Messages app. Talking about Crostini and the Linux virtual machine, I want to make people aware, you probably are, that you cannot use the on-screen keyboard in Crostini. I was using the Linux VM. I went in and loaded a Linux application and found I had no keyboard. So you can't really use Linux in tablet mode on a Pixel Slate, or if you have a Pixel Book and you fold that back into Slate mode. So I'm hopeful that we will get that working eventually. That would be nice. I did notice that when I try and bring up the on-screen keyboard in the Linux VM, we do get a polite little notification that says it's coming. Also, if you're on Chrome OS version 80 with the Crostini Linux VM, you may have noticed that when you do a sudo apt update, that it will not update the Crostini tools and applications because the signature keys have not been updated. This is a known issue. I have a link in the notes. We're just going to have to wait till the next beta update, friends. Also with Crostini, I was able to get the latest version of the Arduino IDE running on my Pixel Book and Pixel Slate. You can install the Arduino IDE from the apt package manager, but it is such an old version, so out of date. It is not easy to understand or figure out how to install the Arduino IDE. So I have written a blog post about that. I have a link in the show notes. If you are trying to run the Arduino IDE to program Arduinos and upload code, you can now do that as well. Not only run the latest version of the Arduino IDE, we can actually send code now from our Chromebooks from the Arduino IDE to the device. And that works in the latest version of the beta channel, which is version 80. I want to share my daughter's experience with the Google Store in replacing a Pixel. She had a Pixel 3 phone that was just randomly shutting down. She contacted me to see if I had any advice. We tried a few things. It didn't fix it. She contacted them and said immediately they offered to replace it. She had just a great experience, which is different than what you may be hearing online. I often hear bad experiences, so I was really pleased to hear that. She was actually thinking about jumping off the Pixel train and going back to iPhone, so I'm glad that Google did what they needed to do and that they got that fixed. And then finally, I want to talk about a couple of things. I mentioned in the last episode, I've been toying with video, and I've been doing some video work for a class I'm teaching, and I've put some of that video over on my blog. So if you'd like to go check that out, as a matter of fact, the instructions for how to install the Arduino IDE, I have a video demonstrating that on my blog over at stephencombs.com. So you can go take a look at that. But I also, in doing these videos, I learned about this software called OBS Studio. I'm probably behind the times. I'm sure I am, But wow, what an amazing free piece of software. It let me easily on my Linux box create this multi-camera video complete with transitions, complete with text, and even a web shot of me while I'm talking. Not that anybody wants to see that, but I did that anyway. And just really impressed with that. So if you are looking to do some video work, check out OBS Studio. If you're an educator, I think you should check this out too, because you can even do screencast using OBS Studio. It's amazing at what someone has done with some free software. And I'm finding that more and more people are using it, and it is a wonderful tool. So my next step in using OBS Studio is to figure out how to capture the Chrome OS screen from a device into that OBS Studio application. And I had hoped that my first solution was going to work. I had an HDMI converter to USB that was supposed to take the output from a Pixel Slate, bring it into OBS Studio and display it. It did not work. So I'm still looking for a solution. So if anybody out there can recommend an HDMI to OBS Studio solution, I would love to hear it. And one that doesn't cost me $400. There are some solutions out there. The solution I tried was $80. I guess you get what you're paid for. It didn't work, but I'm hopeful I can find something else. And just to let you all know, I'm still trying to get past episodes transferred to the new website. I hope you're enjoying the new website. I'm about to episode 12, so I have about 11 more episodes to transfer over from the old site to the new site. If you are enjoying the new format or you have suggestions for the new format, please let me know. And so how can you do that? Well, you can do that a couple of ways. As I always talk about at the end of the episodes, you can provide feedback to me at steven@pixelpowerpodcast.com. You can leave a voice message by clicking a link at the bottom of the show notes. You should also plan to join the conversation over on our subreddit. We have 72 and growing over on the subreddit. I'm amazed. We're trying to shoot for 100 over on the subreddit. So share with your friends, let them know. We've had some great discussions over there and I've shared some great tips. I also shared an image of what my traveling Pixel Slate office looks like that includes a external monitor. So you want to check that out too. And then finally, if you tweet something, tweet that using the hashtag Pixel Power Podcast. And guess what? Using an IFT application, I'll find out that someone has posted that. So yes, you can even connect IFT to Twitter, which is awesome. So thanks for being a listener. I hope you will come back for part two of this three-part series on using IFT. And I should return, hopefully, and the flu doesn't catch me in a couple of weeks. I will talk to you then.